be on the Grand Bank tonight, but in a general way of speaking, we're all among the fishing fleet now. We shaved three dories and near scupped the boom off a Frenchman since noon, and that's close sailing, you may say.
Red, you like my cigar, eh?
Fine, full flavor. Guess we've slowed down a little, haven't we? I'll skip out and see what the log says.
Well, yes. I might if I was you there, my boy.
Harvey staggered over the wet docks to the nearest rail. He was very unhappy. But since he had boasted to the others that he was never seasick, his pride made him go aft to the second saloon deck at the stern. The deck was deserted, and he crawled to the extreme end of it. There he doubled up in limp agony, for the stogie joined with the surge and jar of the ocean liner. His head swelled, sparks of fire danced before his eyes. His body seemed to lose weight while his heels wavered in the breeze. He was fainting from seasickness, and a roll of the ship tilted him over the rail. A low gray wave swung out of the fog, tucked Harvey under, and pulled him overboard and away as the great green closed over him and he went quietly to sleep. He was roused by the sound of a dinner horn, such as they used to blow at a summer school he had once attended in the Adirondacks. Slowly he remembered that he was Harvey Shane, drowned and dead in mid-ocean, but was too weak to fit things together. A new smell filled his nostrils. Wet and clammy chills ran down his back, and he was helplessly full of salt water. When he opened his eyes, he perceived that he was still on top of the sea, and he was lying on a pile of half-dead fish.
Ugh, it's no good. I'm dead sure enough.
You coming too now? Fine, a good job, I say, that I catch you, huh, what? A better good job, I say, your boat now catch me. How you come to fall out?
I was sick and couldn't help it.
Just in time I blow my horn and your boat she swung a little. Then I see you fall overboard. And what, I figured you were caught into bites by the rudder. But you drifted to me and I made a big fish of you. So you shall know that this time.
Where am I?
You with me in a dory. Manuel is my name. And I come from a schooner. We're here at Gloucester. And what?
When Harvey woke again, he listened for the first breakfast bell on the steamer, wondering why his stateroom had grown so small. A three-cornered table was within his arm's reach and ran from the angle of the bows to the foremast. At the after end, behind a well-used Plymouth stove, sat a boy about his own age, with a flat red face and a pair of twinkling gray eyes. He was dressed in a blue jersey and high rubber boots. The place was packed full of smells. Fried fish, burnt grease, paint, and stale tobacco were all hooped together by one encircling smell of ship and salt water. Harvey saw with disgust that there were no sheets on his bed.
Feeling better? Have some coffee.
Is there any milk?
Well, no. Nor there ain't likely to be until about mid-September. But it ain't bad coffee. I made it. I've dried your clothes. Well, I guess they've shrunk some. Twist around a bit and see if you hurt any. Yeah, that's good. I'll fix yourself and go on deck. Dad wants to see you. Well, I mean, the captain wants to see you. They call me Dan. I'm cook's helper, and I do everything else aboard that's too dirty for the men. Ain't no boy here except me since Otto went overboard, and he was 20 years old at that. How'd you come to fall off in a dead flat calm?
It wasn't a calm. It was a gale. And I was seasick. Guess I must have rolled over the rail.
There's a little common swell yesterday and last night, but if that's your notion of a gale, you'll know more before you're through.
Hurry, boys!
Hurry! Dad's waiting.
Like many other unfortunate young people, Harvey had never in all his life received a direct order. Never, at least, without long and sometimes tearful explanations of the advantages of obedience and the reasons for the request. Mrs. Shane lived in fear of breaking his spirit, which perhaps was the reason that she herself walked on the edge of a nervous breakdown.
Your dad can come down here if he's so anxious to talk to me. I want him to take me to New York right away. I'll pay him.
Say, Dad! He says you can slip down and see him if you're anxious that way. Do you hear, Dad?
Quit fooling, Dad, and send him to me.
Harvey dissembled his extreme rage and consoled himself with the thought of gradually unfolding the tale of his father's wealth on the voyage home. This rescue would certainly make him a hero among his friends.